for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes. Rather, who is raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who also intercedes for us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything created will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the Christ Jesus our Lord.
Right. Thank you very much, Ryan. Let's just pray, and then we'll have Dan give the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you are good, and that you love us so much, and you made it so that there is nothing that can separate us from you. And so thank you for the blessing that your word is, and we pray that you would bless us today as Pastor Dan brings it. Bless him as well. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Thanks, thanks, Ryan, for reading the scripture so well. And according to my computer, we have 13 units or computers linked up. So that's probably 10 or 12 more than last week. So this is amazing. We got people from Salt Spring Island and Edmonton and Camrose, and of course here at home. So welcome everyone, and great to have you here. So I just want to say a few words, and from Romans chapter 8, as Ryan read, and the title of my message is simply Securing God's Perfect Love. Knowing that you are loved by God is really important at any time, but especially when you're insecure. Now, most of us believe the little song that we sang when we were kids, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? But many of us have a difficult time internalizing God's love for us, especially when all the voices in our head and outside of our head seem to be saying the very opposite. You know, I think this pandemic has created a tidal wave of fear, and the waves just kind of keep on coming, and they make you feel insecure inside, anxious, maybe fearful. And in times like this, the evil one will try to deceive you. Satan may say something like this in your mind: this crisis is proof that God doesn't care about you or that he's abandoned you. But God says, my child, no matter what happens, you are deeply loved. So who are you going to believe? Who are you going to trust? Well, you're probably going to believe the voice that you listen to the most. You're probably going to believe the voice that impacts you the most. So there was an old pastor from Los Angeles years ago. And he was known to be a great Bible teacher, but he was also very mean and very grouchy as the day was long. And every time he got up to speak, he told people that they were horrible and that they were going to hell. Pastor Bobby Schuler asked one of the old man's colleagues, he says, what's the big deal here? What's the deal with this man? Why is he so angry all the time when he gets up to speak? Well, the colleague's answer was unforgettable. He shared that when this old man was a boy, his dad was super, super strict. One night he was so angry with this boy that he took him outside, chained him to a tree, put a sign around his neck that said worthless, and let him sit there overnight with that thing hanging around his head to punish him. That's why every time this man got up to speak, he was really saying 1,000 times to himself that he was worthless all the time. He had internalized a lie from when he was a boy from the enemy, and it had devastating consequences. The truth is, God loves this old man. And the truth is, God loves you, and he loves me as well. So what truth or lies are you internalizing? Because what you believe and take into your heart is what you will become. That's what happened to this old man. Now, in our passage that Ryan read, Romans chapter 8, 31 to 39, the Apostle Paul is helping you internalize God's love for you. Now, just before this passage, the context of this passage, Paul's been talking about our present suffering, and he talks about the groaning of creation. Now, we groan inwardly as we face the ups and downs of life, and we, as Christians, wait eagerly for the adoption as God's children and the redemption of our groaning bodies. So Paul is talking about a future hope in Jesus when he returns. The groaning of this earth may include earthquakes or this coronavirus or economic hard times and even collapse and even death. But because we have hope in Jesus Christ, Paul says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. That's verse 28 of chapter 8. So are you convinced about this truth? Our future is in God's hands, and our present anxious life is in God's hands. But in the present, in the here and now, you and I have to be absolutely convinced that God, in fact, loves us. And so I want to talk about two things to help us internalize God's love. Get it from our minds into our hearts. So number one, be convinced that God is for you. Verse 31 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So be convinced that God is always on your side and that he's defending you against the voices of accusation. So how can we be convinced that God is for us and will defend us? Well, we read on in verses 32 to 34. It says, he who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So we can be convinced that God is for us, that he's defending us because he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Paul is saying that all the things that God graciously gives us today and into the future, including our security and hope, is all tied to the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. So Jesus' death for us is the very reason why God is for us today. His death and resurrection is the very reason why we have absolute security today. Even when this tidal wave of fear and anxiety is crashing over us. When Jesus died and rose from the grave, he defeated Satan, evil, and hopelessness. Now, furthermore, it says Jesus is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. This means that Jesus is our King, he is our God, and that he is in absolute control of our life. He is in absolute control, and he does not stand idly by, but he is working for us. We have full access to the throne of God because of God's grace. where we can cast our burdens on him, as we talked about last week, and we can be convinced that he cares for us, that he intercedes for us, that he prays for us, he works for us. Yes, God is for us. We have to be convinced of that fact, even when things look bad. There's a man by the name of Keith, and he shares this story. And he and a friend a few years ago went for a drive around in LA. And his friend was a police officer. And he noticed that on his cell phone, it was locked with an unusual password. The password was pro nobis. So Keith asked his friend what pro nobis meant and why he chose that for a password. The friend told him that it was Latin and it simply meant for us. And then suddenly his friend started choking up. And Keith thought, why would these two Latin words cause so much emotion? Well, his friend composed himself and he explained that after walking through deep personal pain, true healing came when he learned that God is for us, or Latin phrase pro nobis. Keith's friend said that after his parents' divorce, a season when he assumed that God didn't care, or that God had given up on him, he finally found hope through those two simple words. He decided to believe that God was pro nobis, that God had sent Christ to die for him. He could then decide to lay down his life for others as a police officer. So be convinced that God is not against us in these times, but that he is pro nobis, that he is for you. He defends you. He intercedes for you. Secondly, to internalize God's love, be convinced that absolutely nothing can separate you from God's love. And Andrea already expressed this truth so well to us, but let me just read again part of what Ryan read. This is from 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there are countless things that can try to block God's love from us. Spiritual opposition is real, and the evil one is real who tries to deceive. But we are also reminded that even hardship, even death, is something that Christians should expect. And so when trouble comes, we shouldn't be surprised, the Bible teaches us. But these things can cast doubt on God's love through fear. But you and I must be convinced that nothing can separate us from God's powerful love, a love that reached down to us through Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And we must realize that when Jesus died and resurrected, all these things that try to cut off God's love are defeated enemies. Satan can't accuse you of not being loved by Jesus. Neither can any of these things like our pandemic virus, terrorism, natural disasters, or any fear. So how do you internalize God's love and be convinced of his love when we walk in these murky times? Author Brennan Manning, who's written many books, tells a story of his life that helps us internalize Jesus's death for us. So one day he went to go visit his adoptive mother. And he often visited her because sometimes in ministry, he felt empty inside, and this lady was a great encouragement to him. To understand what this 87-year-old woman meant to Brennan Manny, he takes us back to 1952 in Busan, Korea. So, two best friends, Richard Manning, as Brennan Manning was called when he was a young man, his given name, and Ray Brennan, his best friend, they were side by side in a foxhole. And they're awaiting orders from their commander on what they should do. This is the Korean War times. Suddenly, a hand grenade landed right next to Ray Brennan, his buddy. Ray just instinctively threw his body on top of that grenade. He winked at his best buddy before the grenade exploded under him. And his action saved Manning's life. And of course, his buddy Ray was killed instantly by that grenade. So, 8 years later, Richard Manning went into ministry. And he took on a new name, which was the custom of his ordination. And so, because of the sacrifice of his best buddy, Ray Brennan, he took his last name and it became his first name. That is why he is known as Brennan Manning today and not Richard Manning. So, back to 1989, Brennan Manning went to go visit his adoptive mother, Ray Brennan's mom, Mrs. Brennan, because he was feeling very empty inside, and this lady had a way of encouraging him. So they got together and they reminisced about Ray, her son, his best buddy. But feeling very low, Brennan Manny asked Mrs. Brennan a question. He asked, "Do you think that Ray loved me?" Now, at first, Mrs. Brennan was kind of thought it was a joke, thought he was joking, but he wasn't. Brennan Manning was dead serious. Well, Mrs. Brennan, when she understood that he was serious, she actually grew a little bit angry. She said to him, "Don't you ever talk to me like that again. What more could he have done for you?" And she repeated herself, "What more could he have done for you?" And then she turned quiet with understanding and said, "It's okay, Richie. We all need a little assurance now and then." You know, when we doubt God's love for us, we need to hear those words, "What more could God have done for you?" And so John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." But of course, God's love was far greater than friendship love, a love between two people. Because Romans 5:8, Paul tells us, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You see, Jesus's death for us was perfect love. And his perfect love, as John tells us, casts out fear. Fear is about punishment. But Jesus took the punishment of our sins and he forgave us. That is perfect love. That's perfect love. You know, we struggle to internalize God's love because we believe the voices that say, "You are too unlovable for God," or something similar. What God did for us through Jesus' death was perfect, selfless, sacrificial love for us, a death that you and I deserve. But he did it because he loved us. He did it so that you and I could find absolute security in himself, security in his love, so that then we are free to live a life for God. And then we are free to love others as well, just as Jesus did. The other day I was paging through my journal and I was drawn to an entry from January 2012. And it's a quote that I wrote down from an author by the name of J.D. Greer, and what he calls the gospel prayer. And so this is what I jotted down. In Christ, there is nothing I can do that would make you love me more, or love me more. And nothing I have done that makes you love me less. Let me repeat that. In Christ, there is nothing I can do that would make you love me more, and nothing I have done that makes you love me less. Awesome words. In this time of fear and uncertainty and anxiety, we need more than ever to be convinced of the security of God's love. Nothing in this whole world is able to separate you from the security of God's love. Absolutely nothing. We believe the voices that we listen to the most. So the question is, who and what are you listening to? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow him because they know his voice." I think Jesus is saying, when we internalize God's love, it's because we're listening to the voice of Jesus. And when we're listening to the voice of Jesus, then we follow him. And when we follow him, we're most certainly secure in his love. So let me encourage you to internalize God's love by getting into the daily habit of listening to the right voice, the voice of Jesus. And not just once, not just twice, but all the time, making it your daily practice of listening to the voice of Jesus, opening the Word of God and praying to him, and then cutting off those other voices. Sometimes those voices just disturb us and deceive us. We need to be listening to the voice of Jesus. So let me just lead you in prayer, and I believe we're going to turn it over to the Mackeys for one more worship song. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ by sending your own Son. And you did it in love. You did it because you wanted us to be free to live and to love and to have everlasting life. And Lord, we've been talking about ways in which we can internalize our love, because sometimes we have a difficult time believing the reality of your love, and yet it is so real and so powerful. And so I pray that you will give us your grace to be able to listen to your voice and cut out the other voices that are untrue. Spend time with you and live in your love so that we could love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.